Vajrahasyam. Yesterday we heard from text 22, Ashtayam Sadhana, about Vishakha teaching us the art of singing beautifully like a cuckoo. And then when our singing is quite proficient, then Radharani will accept us as a suitable servant to serve her. This chapter, of course, is called Prem Bhajan Sambhog, or Prem Nam at the level of Sambhog, because the Shikshastikam takes us from Shraddha to Prema. And then Yugayatanameshina is pure love of God in the mood of separation. And of course, that's our level as sadhakas. We feel separate, and finally we meet the Lord. So Shlishiva Parvatam Panashtamam is meeting the Lord. And one comes to the level of Bhava and Prema, higher end of Bhava and Prema. He meets the Lord in Spurti or Vispurti or Sakshan Darshan. But it's briefly, because he's a sadhaka. He may have a momentary darshan, or even a few minutes. Then the Lord disappears, then he cries, Vilap, he wails. And like Raghunath Das Goswami, and Vilap Kusumanjali is offering a handful of flowers of lamentation. Oh, my Lord, this verse, Ashlishiva Parvatam Panashtamam Adarshanama, there's a type of lamentation there also. Radharani's praying, this is Sambhog, represents meeting, enjoying intimately with the Lord. Oh, Krishna, may it crush me by your loving embrace, or you may break my heart by not being present before me. So that means this verse, even in Sambhog, there's a concept of I'm with him, but I may lose his association. So even meeting, Sambhog, is mixed with Vipralamba, the chance for separation. So from the sadhaka level, the Shikshastakam, for an ajata rati sadhaka, for one who has not attained bhava, rati means bhava, if he has not attained bhava, then he meditates on this prayer, and he, of course, let's say, he thinks, when will that day come when I have darshan of the Lord at the level of prema? And he also feels that the Lord may be crushing me by his, trampling me under his feet by his neglect, because we as sadhakas, we may feel neglected by the Lord, and we don't feel the Lord's presence. And why does he do that? He neglects his devotees, whether they're premi bhaktas or whether they're sadhakas. Sometimes he neglects the devotees, and they feel neglected or ignored, and they feel that crushing separation, and they cry. Why does Krishna do this? He does it to increase our attachment, to increase our love on the level of prema. And for a sadhaka, he does it to increase our surrender and our understanding that Krishna is not so easily attained. He's an autocrat. So this, now that we've heard in this discussion of Ashtayam Sadhana, gone through some understanding of Mahabhav, what are the different types of Mahabhav, and we discuss the different verses where Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses sadhana as a manjari, as a practitioner of Raghunuga Bhajan, aspiring for prema, aspiring to realize the siddhadeya, and he gave some specific instructions in that line. And that's now, when you take this to the next level, which is the level of someone who is at the level of bhava, a jatarati sadhaka, a sadhaka who has bhava or prema has taken birth in his heart. He has received, bhava is awoken in his heart by the mercy of the associates of the Lord and the holy name and his beloved Gurudevs. And now there's a whole series of verses in Ashtayam Sadhana chapter number 8 of Bhajan Rahasyam, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes what is this Sambhog. As we mentioned earlier, it means love and union. And this is represented by the last pair of, when we chant Hare Hare, at someone at the level of prema, when he chants Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, that last pair of names, Hari Hari, one is already at the level of prema, then he will experience separation. And then he becomes completely fixed in his identity as a mantri in Vrindavan. And he attains the ultimate goal of life, which is a direct service of Radha and Krishna Yuga. So I want to describe something about Sambhog. We know about Bhoga, Sambhoga, because there are several verses in Vajrarahasyam chapter which describe Sambhog. 9 through 11, 17, 18, 23, 24, etc. So Sambhog, what is the definition of Sambhog Prem? That is, because bhog means enjoyment, pleasure, satisfaction. And sam means together, enjoying together, satisfaction together. Or also means many types of enjoyment. And it means full enjoyment, full pleasure, complete. So sambhog is a wonderful bhava or feeling that arises from the rapture of Radha and Krishna's loving dealings. When they see each other, when they talk to each other, when they touch and embrace each other or kiss each other. The object of sambhog is solely to give pleasure to each other. This is where the material world and the spiritual world, they divide, they separate. Because the object of our activities and endeavors in this world is to give pleasure to ourselves. I eat to please myself. I don't eat to please you. I act to please myself. Sometimes they have a phrase, you eat to satisfy your, please yourself, and you dress to please others. They say like that. Especially traditional. You have a job and your boss says you dress like this, so then you dress to please your boss. Or a uniform in school, you dress to please the authorities of the school. Or a traditional household, a wife would dress up to please her husband, wear his favorite colors or whatever. But in the spiritual world, everything that Radharani does is to please Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna. And everything that Krishna does is to give pleasure to Radharani. And so sambhog means that. To give, sambhog means full, complete, variegated. To give full and complete variegated pleasure and happiness to the beloved. We say chapan bhog. Chapan is the Hindi word for 56. Chapan. So that means 56 types of delectable, tasty foodstuffs generally cooked in ghee. So people think, oh, chapan bhog, I will enjoy. Even there are some restaurants where certain days of the month or week they have chapan bhog special. You go to the restaurant and you pay a certain amount of money, then you can go and they'll give you, you can eat 56 preparations. Chapan bhog, you can enjoy 56 varieties of food. But this idea of bhog or sambhog is the sambhog is experienced in the loving dealings between Krishna and his associates in Braja. And the Brijvasis are the objects of these dealings. So Krishna not only has sambhog with the gopis, but also the gopas. The object of these loving dealings, which embody a wonderful ecstasy of rejoicing, is solely to give pleasure to each other. This is a very wonderful definition of the spiritual world. Spiritual world is a place where everyone is rejoicing and everyone is tasting and experiencing a wonderful ecstasy, because moment to moment they're trying their best to give happiness and pleasure to someone else, namely Krishna. So there are some verses here that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us to understand what is a sambhog. So he begins by explaining the sambhog lila at Kurukshetra. Everyone knows that there was a solar eclipse there. And when Krishna was about 50 years old, he left Dwarka and he went there. Because astrologers were saying that the way this eclipse is coming, it's so rare, there's a chance that the Earth planet could get destroyed. Because these eclipses are very negative times. And planets change their positioning in relation to the sun. You get a little too close to the sun, you get burned up. So there was some idea like that propagated amongst the people. So everybody from India went to Kurukshetra to say goodbye, to prepare themselves for the cataclysm and destruction. But it was a great opportunity because all the gopis came from Vrindavan and Krishna came from Dwarka and they met there. So this is explaining something about the Sambhog Leela of Krishna and Kurukshetra. What did he feel like? Because this is nighttime pastimes. This is Ratri Kal, Hari Hari Ashtayam Sarana. It's all about Sambhog. Spiritual Sambhog. Spiritual enjoyment. And in the outline of these verses, they say a devotee's steadfast commitment to Krishna's pastimes. Padyavali 386, text 9. Mahaprabhu recited this verse in Rath Yatra. Yo kumara harasa eva hi varasta eva chaitra shapas tanchon milita malati sorobya proda kadambana kadambanila sacevasmi tatapi tatra surata vyapara lila vido reva rodasi vetasi tarutale cheta samutkantate. This is the one lover is telling another lover, oh my dear friend, that beautiful one, apparently it's one lady, one woman speaking to another woman, oh Saki, oh friend, that beautiful one who stole my heart in my youth is now here again. These are the same pleasant nights of the spring season, with the same fragrance of blossoming malati flowers in the air. And there's a very gentle, cool, fragrant breeze from the kadamba trees. I am the same. And my beloved is the same also. But my mind is eager for amorous play at the foot of the Vetasi tree, far away in the bank of the river Reva. This is a translation from another translation. He who stole my heart away during my youth is here again today as my bridegroom. In other words, before this man and woman were married, they had some relationship in a particular place in a forest under some trees along the bank of a river. When they were younger, just entering teenagers, just puberty. Now, some years later, they're finally getting married. And now things are a little different. And these are the same moonlit nights of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers. And is carried by the same sweet breezes blowing from the Kadamba forest. I'm the same person with whom he made playful, ecstatic love. Yet my unsatisfied mind yearns for that place under the bulrushes on the bank of the Reva River, some kind of reeds and whatnot. Bhaktivinoda says, Kumari bhajane jare se eva var seta vasanta nishi sorobi pravar Se viprasayami samyoga tahai tarapi se reva tata sukha naipai. The boy I loved as a young maid is now my husband. This is the same kind of spring evening when we used to meet, filled with fragrant breezes. This is the same mango tree, and I am the same person. Our union, too, is the same. But I don't feel the same happiness that I used to feel on the banks of the Raver River. So this is, of course, this verse is, there's some purport and explanation of this verse. And when Lord Chaitanya was dancing in Rathyatra, he was in this mood of Kurukshetra Bhav sometimes. And he was feeling like Radharani felt when she saw Krishna and Kurukshetra, and she wanted to bring him to Vrindavan. So the Rathyatra is Radharani or Lord Chaitanya trying to bring Jagannath Krishna to Gundicha or Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu would recite this verse while dancing in front of Jagannath's chariot. He was immersed in Radha Bhav, thinking himself to be Radha and Jagannath to be Brajendra Nandan Shamsundar. Mahaprabhu was feeling, or Radharani, that they were meeting each other in Kurukshetra. This was his mood. But when Radharani met, Radharani was the same lover, Krishna was the same lover, and they're meeting again, it was springtime. And she's saying, we also met in springtime, Chaitra Mas, in Vrindavan, Chaitra Vaishakh. And this is also Chaitra, you're the same, I'm the same, there's a river here. But it's not the same. At Kurukshetra, Radharani could not experience the same happiness she used to feel when meeting Krishna in the Nibritanikunjas of Vrindavan. Absorbed in the mood of Radha, Mahaprabhu revealed the distress she felt as Radha spoke to her Sakhi. Oh Sakhi, I am that same Radha. He is the same Krishna. And we're now meeting each other again. Nevertheless, my mind is eager that we should meet and sport together in the secluded Nikunjas of Vrindavan. This verse that Bhaktivinoda quotes here is taken from Sahitya Darpan. That particular scripture describes how a young unmarried Nayak became strongly attached to the qualities of the hero and met him on the bank of the river Reva. There, the hero took away the innocence of the heroine. A kumari, a very young, unmarried girl, naturally has no desire for union. When this desire arises at youth, then her kaishor age begins. After some time, when that nayaka heroine was married to the nayak, or she was, then when springtime came, then her memories, she had memories back when she was young, to that charming moonlit night. So now they're married in the bonds of marriage, and they don't have the same eagerness then. In other words, the spontaneity and the excitement of falling in love and the newness of it and freshness of it, it's not the same. Once one's married and been married for a long time, it becomes somewhat tasteless. But her mind was remembering those happy memories that appeared in her heart when she first met her beloved. So this is a nice verse here. It's explaining that Mahaprabhu is uttering this verse, which is kind of sounds mundane, sounds like lust or whatever. But he was thinking in terms of Krishna and Radharani. So that's pure expression of amorous mellow, Shringhar Ras. And then there's some discussion about the cause of all that. And how when Radha and Krishna meet, there's such a beautiful happiness they both experience. And even though it's Parakiya Bhav, the sweetness of the Braja Devi's Parakiya Bhav is unprecedented. Their meeting with Krishna is very rare because they're not married. So they consider it a very precious moment when they can be together. So their mood, when they meet together, their mood is characterized by contrariness, prohibition, and secret amorous desires. This type of Parakiya Bhav is a wealth of the Brajadevis only. The queens of Dwarka don't have this, even the other, anyone in Vrindavan doesn't have this particular mood of love. So this is very nicely described in this verse. And this is special flavor. So this is a type of sambhog and joined together. And he cites this verse. And in the subsequent verse, he also discusses more about this idea. And this is again from Padyavali. Because what happened is after, when Rupa Goswami, he heard Lord Chaitanya utter this verse during Rath Yatra. So then he went back and he explained the verse himself. But in this case, he brought it to Vrindavan instead of the Revati, or Reva River and a Vaitasi tree. So this is Rupa Goswami's version of the same verse. Padyavali 387. Priya Soyam Krishna Sahachari Kuru Shetra Militas Tatahamsa Radha Taridam Ubiyo Sangama Sukham Tatapyanta Kilan Madura Murali Panchama Jushe Manome Kalindi Pulina Vipanaya Sprihayati. After Radharani met Krishna Kurukshetra, she said, O Sakhi, in Kurukshetra I'm meeting my Pranapriya Krishna. I am the same Radha, but I feel no happiness in meeting him. I yearn to go to Vrindavan, to enter the kunjas on the bank of the Yamuna. And there will be so much bliss I will experience when I hear Krishna vibrating the fifth note on his playful murali. Murali panchama jushe. Jushe means sound or vibration, note. Say Krishna Prananath Kurukshetra Painu. Se Radha Ami Se Sangama Labino Tadapiya Mara Man Vamshi Dwani Mai Kalandi Pulini Spriha Kari Atishai Vrindavan Lila Sama Lila Nahyar Vaikunthadye Elilara Nahi Parachar Raja Je Lila Tai Vicheta Sambhog Dvita Paramananda Sadakara Bhog. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's version of the same verse. And he's saying, I have found, of course this is Radharani speaking, I have found the love of my life, say Krishna Prananath. Krishna, here in Kurukshetra, say Radha Ami, say Sangama Labino. I, Radha, have attained the union with him that I so long prayed for. In other words, for 40, almost 50 years, Radharani did not see Krishna after he left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and Dwarka. And she wanted nothing more than to meet with Krishna, to see him. So now she's finally meeting him in Kurukshetra, but something's different. Even though I'm meeting Krishna, my mind is still intensely yearning for the banks of the Yamuna, which was once filled with the sound of his flute. Because there's no flute there in Kurukshetra. There's all chariots and all these things. The Lord has no pastimes. This is there. Bhaktivinoda goes on. Krishna has no pastimes equal to those of Vrindavan. Such pastimes are not known in Vaikuntha or in any other abode. In Vrindavan, there are pastimes of union and separation, but both of them are states of supreme joy. And Krishna always enjoys them all the time. So there's a nice purport that's given on this verse. Or this is about meeting. Radha and Krishna are meeting, but it's a kind of meeting which is not so sweet and satisfying because of location. We have the concept of Kaladesha Patra. It's not only the people, but the place, the time, the circumstance, the people, everything is important. Where people meet and what circumstance they meet, and what is their mind, what is their heart. Maybe the same people meeting in a different circumstance has a completely different experience or a different meeting. So here, this is Sambhog, Krishna and Radha are meeting, but the Radharani is hankering for a different setting. One would think, well, Krishna's Krishna, you're Radha, what's the problem? Well, this shows the value and the contribution of Brajadam. How Vrindavan is an integral part of Radharani's bhav. Radharani's integral part of Radharani's loving expression. That the Udipan and the environment of Vrindavan is all an extension of Radharani herself. Sridham Vrindavan. And this whole setting of Vrindavan is very important for Radharani to express her intimate love. Krishna was living 17 years in Mathura. Radharani could have easily gone there. In a few hours she can walk to Mathura. But Mathura is a big city. So she couldn't, there was no Kunjavans there. Big, big golden palaces, big, big wide streets and parks. There's no Kunjavans. Yamuna River is there in Mathura. There's no Kunjavans. And there's no Kandara. Mathura is a flat area mostly. There's Dhruva Tila and Ambarish Tila. Mostly flat. There's no nice hills and mountains there. There's no Govardhan there. There's no Barsana and Nandagaon. So she couldn't have the same loving experience. So she didn't go there. Now she's speaking. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhyalila mixed also. Radharani speaking. Krishna, here in Kurukshetra you're dressed like a prince, Gopavesh. You're surrounded by hathi, elephants, horses and crowds of people. Where is that cowherd boy I used to know? And where is the intimacy and privacy of Vrindavan Forest? If I could only have the same mood, the same Krishna, and that same lonely Vrindavan trysting place or meeting place, then my heart's desire will be fulfilled. If you would make, for example, when Krishna would meet in Vrindavan in the kunjas with Radharani, it was Krishna, only one Purusha was there. One man and Radharani, and maybe some Manjaris. But who is there? Who's there at Kurukshetra? Yes, Radharani's there. Yes, Krishna's there. But who else is there? Nanda Maharaj, and everyone's there. Vasudev, Devaki, Nanda, all Upananda, all the Chandrabhano, everyone, all the men of Vrindavan are there, all the Yadavas are there. It's just lots of kings and commanders and royalty and men everywhere. Okay, same Krishna, same Radharani, but to get all these people out of here, they can't enjoy here. They can't have this. We have Sambhog, but not Sambhog. We're together, so we can, if lovers are together, they can experience Sambhog. So we're together, and I'm hankering to offer you my body and self for your pleasure, but the environment's not conducive. If you would make your appearance in Vrindavan, in my forest bower, I would want nothing else. Oh Krishna, even though you and I are the same people, we have always been and we always are meeting again just as we did before. Even still, my mind yearns for Vrindavan. For it is completely taken by the mood particular to Vrindavan. In other words, every place has a mood, has a feeling. They say the vibrations. You go somewhere and say, I don't like the vibrations of this place. You go in someone's room or someone's house and say, it's stinky, it's claustrophobic, it's dirty, it doesn't look good, it doesn't feel good or something, or it feels good or it doesn't feel good. So Vrindavan has a vibration. They say, the Acharyas say that Dharadhara Patra, there's one verse, it says Dharadhara Patra, says every leaf of every tree is vibrating Radhe Radhe. And that's an old Hindi poem, Dharadhara Patra Radhe Radhe Bole something. Then there's this popular song that people, everyone's heard, Kan Kan Bole Radhe Radhe, Vrindavan May. Vrindavan me kan kan bole Shri Radha Radha, Shri Radha Radha. Vrindavan me kan kan bole. In Vrindavan, Kankan, every Kankan means little tiny piece of pebble, every single stone. So in Vrindavan, there are many creepers going around the trees. And the creepers have patta, means leaf. So the leaves on the creepers in Vrindavan are chanting Sri Radha Radha. The waves in the Yamuna are chanting Sri Radha Radha. Nidibanme Bandar Bole Sri Radha Radha. In Nidiban, the Bandar, the monkeys are chanting Sri Radha Radha. It goes like this, the waves, the monkeys. So this is Vrindavan. Vrindavan's supportive of Radharani's Mahabhav. Vrindavan reflects Radharani's Bhav. She walks here, she surcharges the place. If I take a wire and it's connected to electricity, and then I split it in 100 pieces and I touch it to 100 pieces of metal, every one of those pieces of metal will become electrically charged. It's plugged in the wall and it comes out like this. Then I split it and I touch all these separate. They all become charged by that contact. So Radharani, she's a powerhouse. So she walks everywhere in Vrindavan. Wherever she walks, that place becomes surcharged with her electric energy, the dynamism of her Mahabhav. So the whole land, the trees, the ground, everything is vibrating with Radha's support system. LSS. Life support system. It's her Bhav. Her Bhav is here. Bhav support system. VSS, Bhav support system. So she says, my mind yearns for Vrindavan. My mind is completely taken by the mood particular to Vrindavan. Particular means unique. There's a mood, a Bhav that's unique to Vrindavan. You won't find anywhere else. Radharani says, I don't like this great show of regal majesty in Kurukshetra. Oh, Shyam, with all your elephants, horses, chariots, crowds of people, if you really wish to give me your fullest blessings, then come back with us to Vrindavan, where there are forests of flowers and the sound of humming bees and cuckoo's song. You can imagine when you're a country person, you grow up in the country, you live in the country, at night you sleep and the crickets, And then daytime the bees are buzzing, and the cuckoos and the peacocks, and the cows are lowing. And then someone takes you to New York City, and every hour at night you hear gunshots, boom, boom, police sirens going up and down the street, and fire trucks going up and down, and gunshots, and loud, crazy music. You say, oh, let me out of here. This is Rajagun, this is Tamagun. I want to go to the country. I want some shanti, some peace. So Radharani's in Kurukshetra, elephants. Big bells around their neck, tong, tong, tong. And then so many trumpets, do-do-do, here comes Yudhisthira, tong-tong-tong. And then trumpets and kettle drums and emperors and kings and... Every king has a big band and fanfare, so it's not just, you know, Yudhisthira has his band and Jarasandha. Everyone has their big band and they're all smashing and banging and clanging their drums, and here comes the king, hail this king, hail that king. It's like really nerve-wracking for a village girl. She's a village girl. She's a Braj Chori. I don't like this place. Here you're dressed like a king and accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan you're dressed like an ordinary coward boy, Gopavesh. And your only thing you have is your flute, not swords and shields and chakras and clubs and epaulets and armor and all these boots and... What is all this stuff? In Vrindavan you're barefoot. There's no question of barefoot Krishna in Hastinapur or barefoot Krishna in Dwarka. He's got big, big golden... Puma shoes and Adidas or whatever, Adidas. heavy footwear, foot gear. Have me stand on your left side if you sincerely want to do me a favor. Otherwise, I will understand that all your talk about loving us gopis is nothing but a deception. Here, there's not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. Oh, Krishna, I therefore request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy with us there in a natural way that you did before. Only then will my heart's desire be fulfilled. So this is Sambhog Leela meeting, but it's this restrained, suppressed meeting. Radha and Krishna met each other at Kurukshetra after long separation. Although this meeting, the Sambhog means meeting, it was pleasurable. It was pleasurable like their first meeting in Vrindavan. The heart of Radha was not satisfied. She expressed this heartfelt mood to her intimate sakis. Oh, Saki, my heart is anxious to meet Krishna at Kunjan, Yamuna Bank. When Krishna performs sweet sports in the forest situated on the banks of Kalindi, he manifests an unprecedented sweetness by vibrating the fifth note on his flute. It's kind of like a repeat, because this is the commentary is given in CC in Bengali on this verse. Basically the same point. Here in Kurukshetra, there's not the slightest scent of any of this. Here I do not relish even a drop from the ocean of pleasure I receive from meeting with Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is meeting in Kurukshetra and the similarities and differences of meeting. And then it's compared and contrasted with meeting Krishna in Vrindavan. And now they're meeting, it's almost like the first time. There's been 50 years separation, and Radha and Krishna are meeting for the first time in 50 years. It's almost like the beginning. And 50 years before that, or longer, 60 years, they met for the first time in Vrindavan. It was so intimate and so sweet and so satisfying. But this is Sambhog, but not so pleasurable, not so much happiness. So there's different varieties of Sambhog. And this particular verse, Ashli Shiva Paravatam Panashtam, this is mentioning a type of Sambhog which is filled with possible separation. Oh, you may crush me by your embrace, then the next second you may break my heart by trample me under your feet by leaving me, because that happens. So text 11, then there's another idea of Sambhog given here. This is from Ujjala Nilamani, Sri Radha Krishna's pastimes of meeting. So this describes, just by listing, the different pastimes of meeting in Vrindavan, in the proper setting, in the proper mood. And these are all the wonderful ways Radha and Krishna enjoy their love together. Ujjala Nilamani 15:222-224. When they meet, they express different anubhavas. Anubhavas are... Anu means following. So what follows the bhav? When love arises in the heart gets stimulated with conjugal feelings. In the case of Madhurya Ras, when one sees the lover, one meets the lover. And when the heart is excited and disturbed, and how does that, what follows that bhav? What is expressed? Well, there's some activities, and those are explained here. And these are all different forms of how Radha and Krishna enjoy together. 21 different ways. Te tu sandarshanam jalpa sparshanam vartma rodanam rasa vrindavana krida yamunad jambu kelaya no kela lilaya choryam gata kunjari linata madupanam vadu vesha dritti kapat suptata duta krida pata krishtis Chumbaleshu, Chumbashlesho, Nakarpanam, Pimbadara Sudapanam, Samprayoga Dayomata. Samprayoga means complete and special union. So these are the ways, 21 ways that Radha and Krishna enjoy their Sambhog Leelas, Sambhog Prema of Radha and Krishna. Te tu sandarshanam. This is when the lovers see each other, sandarshanam. The lovers seeing each other, they enjoy. Their eyes enjoy, their minds enjoy, their hearts enjoy. If you love someone, you love to see them. When you really love someone, you love everything about them. You love their sight, you love their speech, you love their thoughts, you love their humor, you love their touch, you love their jokes. You love their company, and you love remembering them. Once Srila Prabhupada was drinking a cup of water, and he did it in his usual way, very aristocratic, and very Krishna conscious, and very unique. And the devotees were sitting there with Prabhupada in the room, and they watching Prabhupada drink this cup of water. And one, I think it was Yamuna Devi, she said, "Prabhupada, the way you drink that water is so beautiful, so unique. And you hold the cup and your pinky finger is sticking out. You saw how I did? This is called pinky finger, no? Pinky finger sticking out like this, right? I personally don't drink. I usually go like this. So this is how." And then Prabhupada, he smiled and he said, You're seeing like that, and because you're feeling you love me. You're seeing like that, and you're appreciating that the way I'm holding the cup, and you think that's very special, and it touches your heart, and you appreciate it. You like it, and you're saying we really like the way you're drinking a cup of water. Now, that's because you love me. Then you see. If you love someone, then whatever they do, you'll see it in such a way that you'll like it and you'll appreciate it. Then Prabhupada said, however, if you don't like me, if you don't like me you hate me or don't like me, then everything I say or everything I do, you'll find fault with. Oh, look at the way he walks. He walks like a duck and look at the way, and listen to the way he sings. He sings like a frog. And his face looks like a monkey or whatever. Whatever the person does, you'll find some fault because the heart is in a negative position towards that person. So we're just explaining here from Ujjala Nilamani, there's 21 ways by which Radha and Krishna enjoy sambhog, prem sambhog. There's viparlamba prem and there's sambhog prem. Viparlamba is a type of ecstatic bliss that Radha and Krishna experience in separation. And sambhog is a kind of bliss they experience in union when they're meeting together. So there's 21 ways by which Radha and Krishna meet each other and enjoy. One way they meet each other is by seeing, the lovers seeing each other. So this is also meeting. Because when you see your beloved, your heart comes out through your eyes. And that's why that if you ever see two lovers together, their eyes are so sparkly and so shiny because their heart is, that the sneha, the liquid prema, the liquid love and affection, the sneha of their hearts is mixing in their eyes and it's coming out through their eyes. Eyes of love. Just like when somebody is hateful and their heart is full of fire of hate, then their eye becomes red. The eyeball becomes red in color. The white of the eye turns, the veins of the eye expand with the heat of the anger. The guy has red eyes with anger. Fiery eyes. So the second type of sambhog is flirting. Flirting. This is enjoying when Radha and Krishna flirt together. The Sanskrit is jalpa. And then the third type is sparshanam, touching. Fourth type is blocking the path of Artma Rodanam. Sometimes usually Krishna does this. He enjoys with Radharani by blocking her path. We don't hear about Radharani blocking Krishna's path. Hey, stop, you can't go. Sometimes Krishna in Gaur Lila, he does the same thing with his mother, Nimai. Because when Lord Chaitanya grew up and got married and took sannyas, he was very rather formal. He's more Maryada. It says he only joked once with his wife, Vishnupriya. The 4 years they were married, he was married when he was 20 and left his family life when he was 24. So in that 4 years of marriage to Vishnupriya, he only joked one time. And it's a joint family. Vishnupriya is there, the wife of Gaur. And Gaurahari is there, and Mother Shachi is there. And Mother Shachi, she's inquiring, "Oh, Nimai, and I had some Mahaprasad here, and I don't see it. Did you take that Mahaprasad?" She says, "No, I don't know. Maybe you can ask your daughter-in-law. Maybe she took it." And that's a pretty innocent statement, but that was the extent of his joking in relation to his wife. "Oh, maybe she took it." That was considered a joke. And then she says, "I didn't take it, you know, because he actually ate, Nimai ate it, actually." But he was like making a joke on his wife. So the idea of Nimai, once he grew up and got married and what to speak of taking sannyas, blocking the path is out of the question. Although when Krishna was a young boy in, you know, Vrindavan, he was regularly blocking Radharani's path. But Nimai would do the same thing when he was a young boy in Vatsalya Bhav with his motherly love with Shachi Mata. And she prepared all these basket, puja basket, and she went to the tree, one tree, maybe banyan tree, to do Shasti Puja. Shasti is the goddess of, Shasti means six, and you worship her on the sixth day of the moon. But Shasti Puja, Shasti Devi is the goddess of smallpox, I think so, or goddess of children, one of the two. And all the Bengali ladies, as their culture, they would worship this goddess for the health and safety of their son, of their child. So she had lots of bananas in the basket and lots of sandesh and ghee and incense and kumkum and rice and haldi and all these things. So Nimai, he's very precocious and intuitive. So he was playing, he saw Mother Yashoda walking carefully, quietly out the door with a big basket. And then he ran down the path. And she came down the path, he put his arms, "Hey, stop. Mata, where are you going?" "I'm going for, I'm going for Shasti Puja." "No, what is in your basket?" "Oh no, that's only some puja dravya, puja paraphernalia. Don't mind." No, I am very hungry. "I'm very, very hungry, Mata. I think you must have, if you're doing puja, you must have some bhog there for Devi." No, you, later I'll give you something, now I have to do puja. Don't, Lala, you go play, go to the Ganga, play, don't disturb me." No, "I am very hungry, I am very hungry. Please, oh mama, oh mata, bog. And then she said, "What do you have, let me see." She said, "I have some sandesh." "Oh yeah, sandesh. And I have some bananas." Yeah. And then he just grabbed it and he ate all the bananas and sandesh. So obviously, Mother Shachi was going to worship Shasti to attain her blessings for the health and strength of her son, but by eating all the sandesh and bananas, he also became healthy and strong. So she didn't have to worship separately because he took care of everything just by eating all the offerings himself directly. So this is Vartma Rodanam. This is enjoyable. The lovers walking down the path, "Hey, stop." And they take two cowherding. He takes his cowherding rope off, and Subal takes his cowherding rope off his head, and they tie them up. They become 6 feet long. And they put it across Dankati. Ha! Then Mother Mangal stands there with a stick. "Hey! Tax!" And Krishna's there holding one end of the rope, and Subal. And then Krishna says, "Yes, you pass here all the time. You have to pay the collector taxes." And then the gopis start talking this way, that way. So he blocks their path and playing this Don Leela. Don Vihari Sri Krishna Ki Jai. So this is Vartma Rodanam. So they enjoy. They enjoy that. And you see, sometimes friends do like that. Someone's going somewhere and they stop, like they put their arms, "You can't go." And then they laugh and they go like this and try to get through and they go under the legs. I've done like this sometimes. Some kids sometimes, you know, some of the children of the parents. I say, "You can't go." Yeah, well, that's another thing. And the fifth form of enjoyment is Ras Lila. That's obvious, Ras Lila. The sixth form of Sambhog Lila is walking together and other playful activities in the Vrindavan forest. And this is Ras Lila, of course, is called Ras. And this is called Vrindavan Krida. Sometimes it's called Banbihar. Banbihar. Banbihar means enjoying in the fun. Banbihari Krishna, Banbiharini Radha. Walking together and other playful activities in the Vrindavan forest, this is the sixth form of Sambhog. Seventh form is Jamuna Ambu Keli. Ambu means water. Keli means playing in the Jamuna. Water sports in the Yamuna and other bodies of water. Sometimes it's called Jal Keli. Jal Keli Lila. Then right here in Radhakund in the afternoon, around 1:30, they splash water and throw lotuses at each other. And then No Kela. No Kela. No means sailing. It's translated here as sailing. Sailing. Number eight is Sambhog Lila of sailing. No Kavihar. No Kavihar is translated in English as sailing. I wonder what they say here. That'd be interesting. What they say. Meeting each other, what is it? Sandarshana is meeting each other, seeing each other, flirting, japa, touching, sparshana. Blocking each other's way in a contrary mood, vartman, rodana. Ras Lila, enjoying pleasure pastimes in Vrindavan, playing water sports in Yamuna, Manasi Ganga, Jal Keli, enjoying boating pastimes, no Kela. So it's more like that, enjoying boating pastimes. I don't see Radha and Krishna sailing in Manasi Ganga. See Radha and Krishna sailing in the Yamuna. Then nine, this nine is Chorya. Chorya means playfully stealing each other's things. Playfully stealing each other's things, Chorya. We have, there's a song called the Chorasticum. I know that some devotees would like to sing this Chorasticum. There's eight, Chorashtakam, there's eight verses. I think it's Churanga, it's called Churangya, Churangya Ashtakam. Maybe it's in the Giti Gooch. Is it in Giti Gooch? I don't know. Churangya Ashtakam. And there's eight prayers glorifying the transcendental thief, Sri Krishna. But it goes both ways. Krishna's a big thief, no doubt. But Radharani also steals. And of course, Radharani learned the art of stealing from Krishna when she was a very young girl, and she learned the art of stealing. She was about 6 years old, and she learned the art of stealing. Do you know that? You don't know. Krishna taught Radharani the art of stealing when she was 6 years old, and Krishna was seven. Krishna grew up in Gokul. And in Gokul, Krishna was hanging around a lot of thieves and dacoits, Subal, Sridham, Madhavan. So they were regularly doing breaking and entering and other types of minor heavy crime. So that was as a kid. So when he became a teenager, he became like a heavy gang leader. So then, not even a teenager, he's actually 6 years old. But then when he moved to Chatikar, then he got in really bad company. And he stopped stealing butter and yogurt, and he started stealing silk saris. Really costly, too. And jewelry, everything he stole. Because when the ladies would go, when the young girls would go down to bathe, they didn't go with just saris, they also wore jewelry. They're the daughters of kings, princesses, and you know, they're wealthy. The coward men were very wealthy by trading in ghee and butter and yogurt. They had all kinds of necklaces of pearls and gold and diamonds. They weren't poor. So they would go, they went there, and then on the full moon night of Margashirsha month, then all the kanyas that were bathing there to attain Krishna as their husband, they invited Radharani. Oh, Radharani, this is the full moon. This is the last day of our brat, our sankalpa, to worship Katyayani, Mahamayi. Mahayoga Nidishwari, Nandakopam Sutam Devi Patime Kurute Nama. O Katyayani Mahayogini, please bless us that the son of Nanda Maharaj becomes our husband. This is their mantra. Mantra, tap, puja. Dawn, they were bathing and before sunrise doing puja, murti of Amiti, Miti Murti of Katyayani and chanting their mantra. Meditating, and they fixed their sankalpa. It was a 30-day brut. So on the last day, they invited Radharani and the Ashwasakis, come and celebrate with us. The last day. So then Radharani went and she bathed. So she got ripped off. Her clothes, she learned. I don't know if she got her clothes stolen or not. It's not clear. But it's definitely a charge you say she came on that last day. But she watched Krishna in action. So she learned the art of stealing from Krishna when she was 6 years old. And Krishna was seven. Then a year later was a rasa dance. Krishna was eight and Radharani was seven. Because he's a year younger. Therefore, Radharani learned the art of stealing from Krishna in Chirgat at the age of 6 years old. Yes? Yes. So now that Radharani learned the art of stealing, when Krishna had started to enact his Kunja Leela, then Radharani was doing Vamshi Chori. Vamshi Chori. She was stealing Krishna's flute. And sometimes other parts of his clothes, but especially his flute. So they would steal each other's things. Krishna would steal something from Radharani. Radharani would steal something from Krishna. Then the tenth form of Sambhoga is charging the toll, Dan Leela. So blocking the path is separate from Dan Leela. Dan Leela is blocking the path and charging money. And sometimes Krishna blocks the path. But Krishna does Vartma Rodana. Vartma Rodana means blocking the path. And not only the form of Krishna, but even in different forms. One time, Krishna and Radharani were meeting. And Radharani was, she was, for some reason, she entered Man. She was not in favorable mood. So she says, forget it. I'm leaving. I don't want to see you. I'm going back to Varsana. So then she left. And she was very much determined to go back and not meet Krishna that night. So Krishna's thinking, well, this is very bad. I can't pass the night without being with my Radharani. So then Krishna manifested, as Radharani is walking along the path, a big cobra, a king cobra manifested there. Now remember, it's like 12 o'clock at night. The king cobra, when it raises its hood from the, it's like this on the ground, then it raises its hood, it's about 6 feet high, 2 meters high. Nice. And the head's about this wide, the hood. Serious program. So that was Krishna, that black serpent. Sometimes he's called a black serpent. That black serpent was Krishna. So Radharani said, I'm leaving. She's running down the path, very determined, in a great huff, sulking mood of man. Then, shh. So this cobra was completely blocking the path. Vartma Rodana. The cobra was Krishna. Sarup Shakti. So Radharani turned around and ran. Oh, and she jumped in Sham's arm. Sham, Sham. Krishna's very tricky. Now, number 11. That was number 10. That's called Gatta. What's it called? Don, was it? Nokila Lila Choya Gatta? Kunjali Lenata. It's called Gatta. Gatta. And then, yeah, demand. Enjoying the pastime of demanding taxes, Gatta. And this is called playing hide and seek in the kunjas. Kunja Adi Lenata. Hiding in the thickets, playing hide and seek. As very nicely described in Sankalpa Kalpajruma by Vishwanath Chakravarti. O Radharani, when you and Krishna play hide and seek together, and then you ask me, do you know where Krishna's hiding? And when you ask me where Krishna's hiding, I will tell you where Krishna's hiding, and you will believe me. O Swamini, you'll believe me and you'll go right there and you'll discover Krishna's hiding place. But then when you're hiding from Krishna and Krishna asks me, have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Radharani? And when I tell him, he won't believe me because he'll think I'm lying, so then he won't find you. Because Krishna doesn't believe the Mandaris because he knows they lie on behalf of Radharani. Even if I'm telling the truth, he won't believe me. This is a very nice pastime. Drinking wine together. Madhupan. We'll have to find out about the rest of these pastimes tomorrow.